This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
So today on the show, we're just jumping right in. This is another one of those topics that we get lots of questions of at the clinic. And most of the time, the question starts with, do you treat kids? Do you help kids? Is there anything you can do for kids? I have a sick kid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the answer is always yes. We do help kids. In fact, I actually like taking care of kids. Kids tend to respond faster to things than adults do. But with the kids, it's a very interesting component in the clinic. And I say that because the kids are coming in with a wide variety of problems, just like the adults. And we are seeing a wide variety of problems in these kids. Not only are they coming, you know, some kids may come in for skin issues, some kids may come in for, you know, weight issues, some kids may come in because they've got, you know, food problems, or their digestive system is all messed up, or they have really high levels of anxiety. Their parents are worried about the fact that, you know, they seem to have high levels of anxiety. And so, you know, a lot of this, ultimately, when it comes down to it, it falls on food. And today we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk a little bit about what we do with our kids, because I think, you know, people don't realize what we actually do. We're going to get into that more in detail. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I think anyone with any kind of observational skills whatsoever, is noticing that kids, like adults, are sicker and sicker and sicker. The obesity levels in kids is a problem. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know. I mean, when I'm looking at kids, I don't look at them and think, oh, they're way sicker than before. I do see what you're saying, though.
I do. And I look at them that way because I see more and more kids being overweight. And I know that, and if you listen to this show or a longtime listener to this show, you know people that are overweight cannot be healthy. Healthy people are typically not overweight.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And so knowing that these kids are overweight, and the statistics are this, according to the CDC, almost 20% of kids from ages 2 to 19 are obese. Obese. We're not just talking about overweight here. We're talking about classified as obese. I mean, I can think back to when I was a kid. No one in my school, there was maybe one or two kids in my entire school. Now, granted, I went to a small school, but it's still representative of the greater whole. No one was overweight. No one was obese. And the kids that were larger when I was in school, they were not obese. They were just overweight.
Right. No, I mean, same with mine. We had one girl in my class who was larger, and it stood out. I mean, and just because it wasn't the norm. And now when you see kids, I don't know that I personally see a lot of them that are obese, but I do see a lot of them that are overweight.
Right. And the same here. I see some that are obese because they come into the clinic. The parents are looking for help with their kids because they're not getting help anywhere else. They're trying to do what they think is the right thing, but I mean, the issue here is that it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it's a growing problem. And, like, why is it a problem? Well, there are a lot of factors to this. We're going to focus on one. We're going to talk about a couple. But the list is long. Don't get me wrong here. But the biggest factor is that food is huge. The food that our kids are eating, the amount of food that our kids are eating, what the food is that our kids are eating, is all huge. We're going to come back to that in just a second. And another factor, not to downplay the food by any means, but another factor is there is way less activity in our children today than when I was growing up. I'm not that old, but at the same time, things have... that cut me deep right there. Yeah. That cut me real deep.
I'm right there with you.
But the thing is, like, the kids are way more sedentary today. There's a lot more gaming going on. Kids are staying inside playing, you know, their PlayStations and Xbox and playing on their computers. They're using more screen time. There's more computer time. There's more tablet time. There's more smartphone time. We're transitioning away from activity. When I was a kid, I was outside all the time. And I grew up with Nintendo. Original Nintendo. Or the Atari. Yeah, we had an Atari too.
I think the point is that we didn't have a lot of these options, right? I mean, I was at the very beginning stages of computer. So, you know, we had some very basic computer programs. But it wasn't the options, you know, the amount of things that kids have today. And so we didn't have any other way to occupy ourselves. You know, I mean, and
rather than play.
Other than play.
Right.
And so that's what we did. And so, you know, and some of this I get is, you know, different, you know, depending, you know, definitely during like quarantine, things were different. You know, you're less likely to go outside and play with other kids anyway. But that certainly does have an impact, the amount of, you know, physical activity. But just like with adults, how you can't outrun a bad diet, same with kids. Like,
right.
Doesn't matter how much activity they're getting. If they're eating poorly, their health is not going to be where it should be.
Which brings us right back to foods. The biggest driver here with this, you know, obesity and overweight epidemic that's going on in children is what the kids are eating. There are more foods that are super processed, completely full of sugars, devoid of actually any nutrients whatsoever. They have very few vitamins and minerals in the foods, and the ones that are there have been added to the food. The food has been fortified. How can you tell if vitamins have been added to something? Look on the label, it will say fortified with. Like that's like they're adding something that's making this so much better. They're not. I'm sorry, the food industry is not. They're fortifying things with super poor quality nutrients. I mean, you can't add calcium carbonate to a product and say fortified with calcium. I mean, technically you can, but you're not giving, that's not a quality form of calcium that's actually going to do much good in the human body, right? So the products, they're low quality and they're in the wrong form for our body to actually get much benefit from it. I mean, if you're super healthy, you might be able to convert some of these forms of vitamins into usable forms. But for the most part, the kids that are overweight and sick, they're having trouble processing simple things like proteins and fats. I mean, you throw something complex that's difficult to absorb like a mineral at them and give that mineral in a form that they can't do anything with, they're not going to do anything with that. It's just going to go right on through, right? We just don't get a lot of proper nutrition. Then that takes us to, well, whose responsibility is it to make sure that our kids are getting proper nutrition? And lucky you, parents, it falls on you, right? We're responsible for what our kids eat. We're responsible for what's in the house. We're responsible for what they consume. We're responsible for watching out for them. That's one of the main roles of parenting, right? Is to make sure your kid grows up healthy and giving them all of the tools that they need to be the healthiest them possible, right? So it's really what you provide them and what you have in the house. Now, there's lots and lots of advertising that goes on targeting, you know, from the food industry targeting children. I mean, let's look at, just for example, bear with me for just a second. Let's look at the breakfast cereals that are marketed to children. They have cartoon characters. They have, you know, they're highly filled with sugars, right? We have, you know, I'm not going to name any products by specific name by any means, but we have things that have marshmallows in them. We have sugar-coated things.
Right. Well, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
But I think that is definitely an issue, but those aren't the things that are so much where it's confusing for parents is the things that seem like maybe they might be nutritious that aren't. You know, what I always tell parents that ask, you know, I talk to a lot of mothers about, you know, because they're like, how do you have, or how are your kids such good eaters? And one of the things that I always suggest is if something is marketed to kids or parents, you don't want it. Like, right?
Correct.
Because the healthy food doesn't need marketing, doesn't have marketing. So if it's something that I don't care if it says it's the most nutritious thing you could possibly use, I'd stay away from it. That's just a good rule of thumb. Because it, I mean, I have never seen, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that is marketed to kids or parents, you know, to feed kids that is healthy. I mean, can you?
Well, kind of. Nowadays, I do, because we're starting to get into this age of social media marketing and some of these smaller companies that didn't have budgets to be able to market good things.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are organic meat companies out there that are like, look, we can deliver this stuff, organic food and vegetables as well. We can deliver these things straight to your door. And now we can target you. We're not trying to take out a multi-million dollar ad campaign going across the country to target everybody. We can do it by region and specifically target people who are looking for healthier options.
Right. But I think the meat is one that's mostly for adults. We also do, now that you say that, we see some of these companies, they're specifically for kids saying, hey, yes, you know, we're prepackaged, but we use organic, you know, locally sourced fresh fruits and vegetables. So I do think, you know, that we do see more of that. So you're right.
Yeah. So when we come back, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the question that I get all the time. What do you feed your kids? And so we're just going to lay it out there, what we give our kids. And for some of you, it's going to be a bit of a shock. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in today to Wellness 101, we are talking about children. We're actually talking about feeding our kids. We talked about, in the first segment, we talked about obesity in children is a big problem with 20% of, almost 20% of children ages 2 to 19 being obese. And we're talking about one of the biggest reasons for that is food. And when we left right before the break, I said that when we came back, I would talk about what we feed our kids. This conversation comes up so frequently in consultations that I have, whether I'm actually talking about with a parent about their child, or if I'm just talking about the parent in general, because, you know, sometimes parents need to change their diets too. People come in with all kinds of conditions, and we're talking about dietary changes, and then, you know, I explain what we eat, and then I say, you know, look, this is what my kid eats. And so we're going to talk for a little while about what our kids eat. And a lot of this, I'm going to talk about what my son eats. Currently, my son is 2.5, because he's actually eating more foods than my daughter. My daughter's a little over 1.
Well, and she eats a lot, but, you know, we were talking about this when we were prepping for the show. Really, I think the issue with, you have a 1-year-old, if you've got a picky 1-year-old, you really need to reconsider what you're doing, because at you know, a year old, both of our kids were so easy to eat, to feed. I mean, if you haven't given them anything but, you know, fruits, vegetables, meat, they don't know any different. So that's what they eat. I mean, we literally can give our daughter anything and she'll eat it.
Yes.
She just, it's not, you know, we have not tried liver with her. We did try liver with Lincoln. That was the one thing that we tried to make our own liver puree.
He didn't like it.
But that was the only thing, you know, that we had trouble getting him to eat. But I do think, you know, as they get older, anyone who's been through the toddler stage with kids, they get pickier.
Yeah. And so when I said before, you know, that it's kind of shocking to parents or people in general when I tell them what we feed our kids. I can tell that they're not prepared for the answer by the look on their face. And then the typical response is, really? How do you get your kid to eat that? And we decided as we were having these kids that this was the line in the sand we were going to draw. We were going to prepare our kids to be healthy eaters if it was the last thing that we did. And so, I mean, another question that comes is, how do you have time? Well, we all have time for the things that we make a priority in our lives. And one of the biggest priorities in our lives is what our kids eat. And I spend a lot of time prepping meals, making meals. Aaron figures out things that we're going to try next. And we are just constantly, it's a constantly evolving thing. Like, I spend most Sundays prepping and cooking food for the week for my kids. I mean, you should see our fridge. It's packed with food. And by the time we get to, you know, Friday and Saturday, it's empty. Like, our kids just eat well.
Right. We always keep some things on hand that are easy. You know, if we end up going through everything that we can cook, we always, try to make a little extra. A lot of times we'll freeze, like we'll make, we'll steam vegetables and we'll throw a little baggie in the freezer so that later on, if we ever have a week where they just go through more food, we can easily thaw them and get them out.
Or I have a late night Wednesday night or Thursday night fixing food again.
I mean, it happens.
That's what we do. But one of the biggest things is our kids eat about 99% organic. They eat 100% non-GMO. We make sure that at least the food that they're eating is non-GMO. There are some things, we live in the Midwest, it is a little difficult.
Occasionally we just make an exception.
Yeah, we make an exception, and it's mostly because, my son wants something in particular, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't get that quickly, and so I can go to the store and I can get a non-GMO version of that. I can't necessarily get an organic version, but they eat that. And then I think the only sugar that they actually get in their diet is from the fruits that they eat. We don't give them anything with sugar in it.
No, and I will say we do make an exception just recently because we are going through potty training with our son. And so he will get a treat, if he goes on the potty right now.
Yeah, we have some organic fruit snacks that we will give him.
Which are a huge...
He gets one.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if they've added sugar, but they have. They are definitely more sugary than anything else we ever give him. But they work because, he doesn't normally get that kind of stuff. And we're, I don't know. So that was an exception that we made because we needed some sort of treat to kind of get the ball rolling.
Right. And so, I just wrote out some things that my son eats that a lot of people are baffled that a 2.5-year-old will eat. My son eats steak. He will eat it medium, even medium rare. My son eats pork chops, bacon, ribs, pork shoulder, turkey. He's had lamb. What else has he eaten?
I don't know, but you're just talking meat. Meat is a small portion. I mean, he eats a ton of vegetables.
This is huge, though, because most kids don't eat any protein. It's a massive thing, because when I listen to parents,
they're
like...
Do they eat vegetables?
No, they don't. Like, that's just meat. Now, pick a vegetable, our son will eat it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is. If you pick it, he will eat it. He will eat jicama, for crying out loud. I don't know a kid that will eat jicama.
I'm just amazed how many parents I talk to that say, other than tomato sauce or ketchup, my kid doesn't get vegetables.
Yeah.
And that's shocking to me because it's always been a huge staple. It's always been the biggest part of our kids' diet.
Well, and another piece of this puzzle is we include him in the making of the meals. Like, it's funny. Aaron will make scrambled eggs with him, and It's fun to watch him. He will crack the egg. He will split that egg. He will put it in the little cup so we make, because there's going to be a little bit of shell that gets in there because he's two, right? And Aaron's helping him along the way, but he's involved. And then he's standing there watching on his little stand that we have while we make the eggs. Like, he loves to be involved. I take him with me to the grocery store. We go through and we play. What is this? What is this? What is this? And just to hear him name off things, like, he's starting to recognize different types of meat just by looking at it raw.
Right. Well, and I also think it's important that we do give him options. So, like, we are never in a situation, you know, when TJ says, well, we prep a ton of food on the weekends, that's because in any given meal, he has a number of options that he's allowed, you know, that he can choose from. I think that it gets difficult when you're like, here, this is what I'm setting in front of you, because kids, just like adults, are going to have times where that just doesn't sound good right now.
And many times he will say, oh, I want, I don't know, pomegranates. And so we'll give him some pomegranates. He may take two bites and say, I don't want this. Can I have this? And he will go through a list of things, eating a couple of bites of things. And then finally he'll find something and he'll eat all that we have.
And we also normally, things that, you know, I talked about keeping things in the freezer. We usually keep some frozen vegetable soup made with either ground beef or ground turkey that's in there, because that's always kind of a backup that, like, if for some reason just nothing, you know, meat and vegetables is not sounding good to him during the day, you know, we always have that as a backup that will, you know, thaw the frozen vegetable soup and he can have some of that, because that usually tends to go over well. But you've got to have those backup plans, because I think they're going to have times where it just, you know, what you planned on them eating at that meal just isn't going to go in, and you can't force a kid to eat.
And another thing that I think is important is, like, just because your kid doesn't eat very much doesn't mean that they didn't get enough food. Like, we deal with this some.
Yeah.
Where Lincoln just doesn't eat a lot for a particular meal. Okay. You know what? No big deal. But the next meal, or two meals later, he may eat for an hour, hour and a half. He may just sit there and continually eat. And you wonder, where in the world is he putting it?
Yeah, and he may have a full day. We've had a full day where he's barely eaten anything. You know, but his weight has been steady. He's, you know, he's still the growth, you know, his growth rate has been great. So unless you see some issue with, you know, how much they're growing and progressing, there's not really any reason. But I think that's where parents get into an issue, is if their kid slows down or doesn't want to eat at one meal, they're like, well, they've got to eat something. And if we gave Lincoln a cupcake or two, he'd eat no problem, even when he says he's not hungry.
Yeah.
We just don't let that be an option. You know, same thing with, like, chicken nuggets or mac and cheese. Like, I'm sure he'd eat it, but we just, you know, we give him a bunch of options, but they're all healthy options. He doesn't want any of that, then okay.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't eat much that meal.
All right. We got to take another break. When we come back, I want to touch on some of the things that we definitely do not give our kids. You're listening to Wellness 101. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we are talking about kids. We're talking about, we've kind of shifted a little bit. We started talking about, you know, how kids are unhealthy, kids are obese, and we've kind of turned it into a, you know, how we have grown a couple of kids that eat very well, that eat very healthy, and, you know, things that you can do, you know, what we feed our kid, things that you can do to, you know, make sure that you have a healthy eater as a child. And then, you know, this translates to adulthood. I mean, this is stuff, what you're doing with your children at a young age will stay with them for their life. Like, you build healthy eating patterns at home and healthy eating habits at a young age.
Right. And I mean, I I don't know if we want to get into all this now, but like, I have so much to say about that, because I think that I just like, I mean, and certainly nothing in this show is supposed to be, you know, shaming at all. It's supposed to be helpful, because we all, you know, we all have to make the decisions what's best for our kid and what, you know, we're able to spend the time doing. And we all have varying amounts of time. You know, TJ talked about the fact that for us, food was very important, because with the clinic and just also in, you know, in our everyday lives, we see people who have been so badly affected by poor food choices.
Yes.
And I personally believe, and I don't know, TJ, if you feel this way, you know, my mom made dinner every night. I mean, so I was not someone who was eating, you know, did not have home cooked meals. But now looking back, they weren't nutritious. I mean, yeah, they weren't terrible. I mean, we'd have a meat and a vegetable, usually green beans or corn. I mean, we had a standard Midwest diet, you know, I mean, but it was cooked. I mean, so she was, you know, definitely.
It wasn't full of all the salt and preservatives and.
And we didn't have the GMOs and stuff back then, correct, you know, back when I was a kid. But now in hindsight, if, you know, and also I was allowed to have, you know, we had a lot of frozen pizza and, you know, stuff like for lunches during the summers, you know, and ice cream and, you know, whatever snacks we wanted. Now, did I love that as a kid? Yeah. But in hindsight, would I rather now not have cravings for those things and have a better foundation set up? Yeah. I mean, like, we didn't know any better, and my parents did it out of love. But I also think that, you know, and I just say that because while we're certainly not doing this to be shaming, I feel like I get a lot of pushback from mothers who are like, how dare you, you know, like, hurt your child that way by not letting them have any treats. Like, what kind of mother does that?
That's not hurting a child by not giving them. Not giving them sugar is way worse for them than not giving them sugar. I will put my foot down 100% of the time. There are way more studies that prove over and over and over again the problems that we have in our healthcare system, in our food supply, in our sickness and disease is rooted in the fact that we consume so much more sugar nowadays than we ever did. And moderation and all this bull butter terminology that's out there, moderation is crap, because moderation leads to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. Oh, you give in one time, now you give in another. I think that's bull butter. I put my foot down and say, well, that's just not true. The research clearly shows that the more sugar you consume, the sicker you are as a person, period. Cut and dried. It's not really any other way, according to the research now. 20 years from now, may be completely different. We may have different research that says different things. I may change my tune on that. But right now, I know that the more sugar someone eats, the sicker they are. I can show it to them in their blood labs, and I can show it that when they take that stuff out of their diet, they get healthier no matter how old they are.
Yeah.
I got on a little rant there.
No, and I mean, I think that's good to say. I think that, you know, a couple of points that I want to make, you know, my point with the treats and stuff is that I know a lot of people look at that as, you know, you're doing them harm by, you know, not making them feel loved in the moment and giving them a treat for something.
We give them a hug makes them feel way more loved.
Right. And quality time with us, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we give as rewards. I mean, they have a lot of quality time with us anyway, but you know what I mean? And the way I look at it is, okay, what is best for them long term, right? Because I'm not just raising a 2-year-old. I'm raising a 2-year-old that is hopefully going to be a productive man. So what will help him in the long term? And a lot of these decisions, and again, not to be shaming, a lot of these decisions are made not because it's what is best for the kid overall. It's what is easiest on the parent.
Yep. Convenience for the parent.
And I always ask myself, okay, am I doing this because it's what's best for the child, or is I doing it because it's what's best for me right now? You know, my motto, and TJ and I have talked about this, is do what's right, not what's easy. Because I feel like as parents, we are, you know, hit with that choice so many times every single day. Like, yeah, what is the best thing for my kid and what is the easiest thing? And a lot of times, I mean, I think it's extremely rare that those two things are going to be the same answer, because it just doesn't happen. And I also, the other point I wanted to make before I forget this, is the fact that I totally get those of you listening to us right now that it is sometimes only on one parent, and that's going to make it more difficult. Yep, again, we're giving you what we're able to do, but we're able to do that because we've got two parents who are 100% on the same page and completely dedicated. You know, I always say the same thing when it comes to, you know, nursing children. You know, I have breastfed, you know, both of our kids, but there were struggles at times when you know, I was working again. We both have extremely demanding work schedules, but TJ and I were both 100% on board that if I did not get at least a minimum amount of adequate sleep, my milk supply would die, you know, would go down. And so there were times when he would take the night feedings. I mean, I'd still have to get up and pump, but he would take them just because we knew we had to maintain milk supply. I get
basically for a couple of years there, I got no sleep.
I mean, you did help out a lot. And I just want to say that to mothers who don't have that kind of support. Like, because I think there's so many, it is, so we do have a slightly different situation. I think that we all still have choices to make to an extent.
And we even said to ourselves in the moment, can you imagine doing this with just one parent?
Oh, I mean, so many times with our kids have we said, like, I mean, I don't know how single parents do it. And I say that, too, because with the meal prepping, you know, normally it's TJ doing the meal prepping. I help with some of it. But normally then I have the kids. What do parents do that are on their own? I mean, and but then I think you have to make the decision. You know, we try to limit, you know, screen time. We don't let them watch TV. Well, okay. But I probably would let them watch TV if it was that or not meal prep. I mean, we all have to make those decisions of what you think is best for you. But I do want to make the point that, like, I get it that we may be in a different circumstance than some of you who are watching, who are listening to this.
Yep. Completely understand that. And we feel for that struggle.
But I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, what is my goal, though? Like, you know, everything being perfect, what am I even reaching for? Because a lot of people don't even know that. And then how do you ever get there? So that's kind of what we're trying to say is this is what we do. You know, you as the parent, make the accommodations where you need to. You know, make the sacrifices when you need to. Make the decisions that, okay, that's just not going to happen. And that's fine. You know, we don't ever go through fast food. Do I understand that some people, you know, get into a position where they're like, that's my only option to feed my kid right now because I have whatever circumstances are going on. Well, then we all have to make those parenting decisions in the moment. But, you know, we just are in a different boat because we have the support. I also think it's important that I say we've never have, you know, we are really tight on those boundaries because once you give a little with a kid, that becomes like if we let him have chicken nuggets and mac and cheese and it wasn't a special occasion, it was just because I was tired. Well, then that now becomes an option. It's harder to come back from it than it is to give some leeway.
There's a perfect example of this. And we didn't even get to in this segment. We didn't even get to what we were going to. So we'll come back after the next one. That's okay.
Started talking.
So one of the great examples of this, if you don't think that, you know, giving into your children that one time will not set a new standard, just look at the number of parents that have had issues with their kid losing their mind in a store when they go buy something because one time the parent was like, the kid asked, can I have this? The parent says yes. The next time the kids come into that store, they ask, can I have that? The parent says no, and the kid loses their mind and has a meltdown.
Because now it was an option that they might get a toy or they might get a candy or whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
In that store.
And the parent, and you know, I feel so bad for those parents at the time because, you know, the parents are like, oh my gosh, you know, all this, you know, people are looking at me, they're looking at my kid. But this is part of the reason. And I'm not saying that my kid hasn't melted down in a store, like, because, well, actually, my kid hasn't melted down in a store yet, but it'll happen.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking because, you know,
he hasn't really been to a store.
We've been in quarantine for a long time. And, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of that is we just haven't taken them to stores.
He goes to the grocery store with me. And
again,
that's about it.
A lot of that, you know, totally get that not everybody has the ability to just send one parent and the other one watch the kid.
Right.
So I understand.
Completely understand. And so, you know, we get the struggles, but that's where a lot of that comes from is, you know, the giving in once. I mean, kids are determined and headstrong, and way more than, you know, I think people give them credit for.
It's so,
and they remember
hard
so
to
much.
Come back. And they're creatures of routine. So if that becomes an option, then that's what they want their routine to be. You know, they want that toy when they go to the store. They want, you know, chicken nuggets for dinner because you let them have it the other night for no reason.
All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, that was the longest teaser ever. We'll actually talk about some things that we don't give our kids, and then we'll talk about some strategies that you can use to implement to if your children don't have the healthiest eating habits currently, the things that you can do to help move them in the right direction. You're listening to Wellness 101. Yeah, welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we've been talking about kids, what they eat, what they should and shouldn't be eating. We talked about, you know, our kids, what we feed our kids, mainly because the beginning of the show we talked about the obesity rate in children. This is something that we answer a lot of questions regarding. Even when people, when adults come into the office for themselves, they ask questions about what my kids eat and you know, how they can help their kids as well. So before the last segment, I said that we were going to talk about some things that we don't give our kids, and then we kind of got off on a tangent in the last segment. But there's some big things that we don't give our kids. One of them is dairy, at least cow's milk derived dairy. We don't give them anything cow's milk. People always ask lots of questions around that. Cow's milk is just, humans don't do a very good job of digesting it. It's really not that good for us. I always get the question, well, how do they get their calcium? They get their calcium the same place the cows do, from plants. We feed our kids lots of vegetables that are much higher in calcium than milk is. Now, we do give our kids camel milk. Camel milk is extremely close in molecular structure, size, shape to human breast milk. So that's the dairy that our kids get, is camel's milk. We order this stuff. It comes dried in a powder. We mix it. We make it. Our kids love it.
Lincoln loves it.
Yeah, Lincoln loves it. Elle's still on breast milk, but she will have it.
Yeah, she will. We will eventually transfer over. And I know there are people who are against camel's milk. I mean, there are certainly people, there's a thought out there that humans should not be consuming any other animal's milk. That's, again, a parenting decision. You know, we've come down on the side that, you know, the research that we've looked at, we feel like the benefits outweigh, you know, any complications. And we haven't seen any outward complications from giving camel's milk. But I do, you know, respect those who decide to go a different option. Just you need to make sure that they're getting the other nutrients they're missing in another animal's milk.
Yeah. Another thing we don't give our kids is gluten. My son has been for his entire life 100% gluten-free.
Something we do not
waver.
We do not waver on dairy. We have made a few exceptions just because we don't want him to have an allergy, right?
Yep.
So there are times, and mostly I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we've made an exception on. It's been a birthday.
Yep.
For birthday cake or something, and we know that it wasn't dairy free. We do 100% gluten free, like we said. We will not make any sort of exception. But I think there have been a couple of times where
it's gotten to the point in our families, in our respective families, Aaron's side, my side, like our families know. And if someone else is hosting something. Like, there's a gluten-free whatever it is for us or for the kids.
Right. It took a while to get there.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I always laugh. So last year at Christmas, one of my uncles was holding Lincoln, our son, and went to give him a cracker. And there were, like, three different people in the family that were like, no! It's like slow motion. Everyone's just like, and really, do I think that he's going to be, like, you know, have something major happen if he had a cracker? No. If it was like anaphylactic shock, everyone in the family would have 100% known.
Right.
But there's no reason for him to have gluten, and we know it's not good for him. It's more that. So it was kind of funny because, yeah, people have learned in our family that they do not, you know, our kids don't have that.
Another one is food dyes. We don't give our kid food dyes. I mean, it's really that simple. We pay attention to it. We don't give our kid food dyes.
Yeah. there's way too much research showing. And again, you know, TJ and I have talked about this a lot, that, you know, the food dye's effect on the, you know, on the health of your kid is important. The effect of sugar on the kid's health is important. But also, selfishly, I don't want to deal with a kid on food dyes. I don't want to deal with a kid on sugar. It affects their behavior, and I don't have time for that.
And I can attest to it affects their behavior, because I can't tell you how many people have come into the clinic, and either for themselves or for their children, and I have the same conversation. If I'm helping them, I give them the same speech. It affects adults. Food dyes affect everyone. You know, gluten affects everyone. High amounts of sugar affect everyone. And when they change their kid's diet, literally the parents will come back and say, holy cow, I did not understand how big of an impact this would have on my kid's behavior. Well, my kid used to be nuts and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Because they're calm now. They sit and they talk with us.
Well, and I think that, you know, how many times have people said to us, I don't understand how your kids are so well behaved. And to that I say, first of all, they're still kids. Like, they right. still have their moments. It doesn't matter what you feed them. They're still going to test boundaries at times. I mean, they are not, you know, I mean, if you saw them being perfect kids, well, then you saw a snapshot. And I'm glad right. that it went that way for me, but it may have gone the opposite way the next time. So,
right.
but I also think we do get, you know, pretty good portion of the time that they are really good kids, because their bodies aren't fighting against them, because they're not working on, you know, stuff their body shouldn't be having.
You know what? I'm gonna bring this up. It's a little gross, but it's also important.
Great.
Yeah, she's like, oh boy. So another,
this was definitely not something that we had talked
this
about.
This is definitely not on the list. Another thing that I have noticed is we've had, you know, various people have watched our kids. We're not these helicopter parents that, I mean, if we have somebody that can watch the kids, they watch the kids, we do what we've got to do. And I can't tell you, several of them have said, what's the deal? And we're like, what do you mean? Like, your kids poop when I change their diapers doesn't smell or barely smells.
And this is not just, we have a couple of people outside the family, but this is also family members that have watched our
right.
kids, which is most of the people. But not only that, yeah, the two things that, think about it, that are always brought up is they poop more than any other kids.
Yeah, like our daughter will poop 8 times a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes 10.
Yeah. And not, I mean, that's not normal. Normal, it's about 6. But still, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's, you know, she definitely has her times, though. But, yeah, those are the two things. They poop a lot, and it doesn't smell when I change them.
Yeah.
And
all we say is, look, this has to do with what we feed our kid. When we started feeding our kids certain things, like,
their guts aren't messed up.
Their guts are healthy. We yeah. make sure that they're getting the things that they need. I mean, my son, Lincoln, eats sauerkraut and pickles. Very strong, and tofu, and these
organic. Make sure it's organic.
And these things, these are foods that provide and help promote healthy gut bacteria. Like, this is critical to having an overall healthy kid. And this is, I mean, these are just things that we do. And it's little side notes that we notice. And I bring that up because while I was talking about patients talking about how their kids' behavior changed, they also talk about how their kids' bowel habits have changed.
Right. Oh, and one thing I wanted to, I know that we are getting close and running out of time. One thing I wanted to make sure that we made a point of is, we do not be scared of spices.
Oh,
you know, people
spices,
are like, how do
yes.
you get them to eat fruits and our vegetables and meat, especially, are two big ones. They need flavor. Kids, you know, our kids at least, are huge on big flavors.
And don't be afraid, not just spices, don't be afraid of spicy. You've got to test it. You got to see what your kid will like. Like, my son tried some spicy things that I have, and, you know, a while ago, and he didn't like it. But now, like, he now is eating jalapenos. He's 2.5, and he's eating jalapenos. And people are like, what in the world? How's your kid? I'm like, I don't know. He likes it. I give it to him. Like,
it's not bad for him.
It's yeah. not bad for him. And so, anyway, spices are huge. Organic spices, load them up.
Nobody wants bland food, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
same
no
with
one.
Adults.
Okay, that's about all the time we have for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you would like more information, please visit our website, inhstl.com. Follow our Instagram and Facebook at INHSTL. Call us 314-293-8123. Shoot us an email. I love hearing from you. I love responding to you. We get lots of questions and things, and we're here to help. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.